Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. It was an excellent session so far. And it's about the soil water content variability. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Harry Freyken from Jülich and Gonzalo Martinez from Cordoba. What we are going to look at is scale. So the first question is, what is scale, really? And if you begin to look into this, you find out that it's both important and very vague concept. And scale really can be defined in three ways. You can define via hierarchies, you can define via measurement metrics, and also you can define scale by geometric similitude or allometry. And this is the one of the first and very good examples of defining scale hierarchy for modeling soil landscape systems. That was done by Husbeck and Bryan. So you go from molecular and then mixtures and then pads and then profile horizons and then pit on and you go further up. This type of definition of scale is fairly common. There is a multitude of hierarchies. You have hierarchies of physics, let's say particle scale, aggregate pad scale, soil profile scale. You can go to landscape ecology, find another system of microscales, mesoscales, macroscales. Land use in agriculture, it's still another hierarchy. You have individual plants and fields and farms and landscapes. In hydrology, you also have a hierarchy. Typically, one hierarchy level will span from two to four orders of magnitude. And it's a very actually interesting system of defining scales because you change influential variables as you go through scales, you change the methods of investigation. Another one, it's basically based on measurements. You have a triplet of measurement metrics. You look at support, which refers to the integration length or area or volume or something which within which you don't see any differences. Spacing, of course, is the distance between the locations where the samples were taken or measurements were made. And the extent refers to the overall coverage, and the Bloschel Sivapalan did absolutely great presentation of this system, how to use it in hydrology. And then, of course, there is the third way to go. It's just the geometric similitude. That's when we have the observable or assumed similarity in shapes. And then, of course, if proportions among the parts are preserved, then scale is defined as a ratio between the two sizes of units. Say, map scale will define the ratio of the two sizes of spatial units, which have the same shape. Or the Miller-Mills similitude of scaling in soil physics gives you this example of scale defined by this. Scaling is, of course, it's a holy grail, and the reason for that is that we have these three corner concepts, modeling, observation, and policy. And the information that flows between these three, and Birkens showed very well that this scale mismatch between the components of knowledge, acquisition, and packaging requires scaling. And essentially, if you look at hierarchies, then you transfer information between hierarchy scales, so levels, variables will be different as you go from one level to another. The water retention will be the water retention curve with the core scale, but you go to the field scale, you go to the field capacity, it's completely different variable. With the measurement metrics, you transfer information within hierarchy level, and the same variables can be changed. And for the geometric similitude, it's the same thing. So why do we look at spatial variability of soil water contents? Why are we going into this exercise? It appears that the importance of this variable or value grows with time, and now we know that knowing this variability is essential for many things. You do inverse modeling, and you need this value to evaluate calibration. You do sensitivity analysis, you need to know the variability. You do data sensor simulation. Essentially what it is, it's a ratio between the uncertainty of the model and variability data. Go to validation of remote sensing products, and so on and so forth. Essentially, the knowing variability becomes more and more important. We understand this. So the objective was really to review. It's a review and nothing else of available data on scale dependencies of soil water content. And scale was defined in terms of this triplet, support, spacing, and extent, so in terms of this Bloch-Sivapalamb approach. So when we begin to look in the literature, we found essentially six cases, or six designs, if you wish, of data collection to discover scaling. So this panel shows designs when you don't change extent, but you can change support or spacing. B panel shows that you don't change support, but you change extent and spacing. And then you can change extent, of course. So let's look what do we know. Okay. If you change coupled both spacing and support without changing extent, it's a typical situation in remote sensing, and what Mike was talking about. If you're looking at, say, data from this Little Washita watershed, this is the drying period, so you had a variance which scales with the support size. It scales as we're drying, it's essentially linear dependence. The slope doesn't change or almost doesn't change until to the limits of support where we have slight breaking in slopes. And you go 5 years longer to the same territory with the same methods. You still have pretty much this linear dependence on the support size, and you have the break in the linearity pretty much at the same place, at the same support size. And if you go to another type of measurements, when you change support without changing spacing exchange, you just use a different sample size. Those are data from Hawley, and this is the variability of soil water content of the samples were taken in the same location, just sample volume was different. And what happens, we have the linear dependence of the this variability on the sample volume up to about 50 cubic centimeters, and then it essentially flattens. And there is a third way to do this, and this is the if you change support by changing essentially aggregating neighboring measurements at a terroir, which just was discussed recently. If you look at this aggregation results, here's the variance again at the vertical axis and support at the horizontal axis. You have about not much change in variance up to about 50 meters, and then you have the linear dependence, linear scaling of variance with support value. You also can use different sensitivity volumes in the same locations. And those, this example comes from Huisman and others in 2002. The variance again, and before and after irrigation. So the before irrigation we have lower variance, after irrigation we have higher. There are two sensors, TDR and ground penetration radar. And you can see that pretty much the difference between these two remains the same as you change the support size. This is a change of spacing without changing support and extent. It's actually variography. We do semi-variograms. We know how to operate with them. But if you begin to look at the semi-variograms in literature in a dry situation, wet situation, then you can see that as you change the spacing, you have pretty much linear dependence on of the log of variance on log of spacing, and then it kind of flattens. So these piecewise linear models appears to be a very reasonable representation of the data. Those are data from Bugena, forest watershed in Germany. Going back to extent without change in spacing and support. So that those are data from Familiarity. It's a very large range of extents. And the sure thing, we are involving larger topographic and landscape features here. This straight line is a little bit of far-fetched thing, but still you can see that at least several sets of straight lines would do well. If you change extent and spacing by the same number of samples for different extents, it's a strange experiment, but you can do it. It was done in 1974 by Reynolds in the United Kingdom, and essentially what he found, if you take his data, then you can see that it's about 50 meters. You don't have much change in variography, variograms. with variance, and then with the change in extent, this thing grows. And the last one is this extent without change of support and spacing. Again, there is some kind of linear dependence, linear scaling and extent, variance with extent, but it breaks, and you go with a larger slope for the larger extent. This is, again, remote sensing data. That's where we can get this type of results. One comment I would like to include into this. So if you... What happens if we are looking at the soil water content variability, but we neglect spatial organization of soil water? Those are data from absolutely outstanding PhD work of Jacques, which was done in Belgium. He looked at 60 sensors at 5 depths and 12 locations along the trench, and it was done for a year. And if I can start the movie, I will. If not, you will believe me. You will believe me. So essentially, if you this is the months of data here, and if you begin to change during the go to the month, you can see the temporal stability absolutely marvelously. Places which are wet stay wet. Places are dry stay dry, in spite of the fact that there were rainfalls and everything. So at the left side are the dependencies of volumetric water content on time at different locations at the same depth, and you can see that they actually morph to one into another very nicely. So that's what temporal stability is. But then if you look at what kind of model we should use to describe this thing, and we need to recognize that sure thing, we can use average across this all the locations at the depth. But we need to separate the spatial dependence, spatial bias, and the actual variability. If we don't do this, then we will have essentially inflated variance, and we will know much less about the variability of soil water content and how to use it as compared to the fact that when we separate this, essentially the spatial dependence of the bias, which is essentially the spatial shift, has a fairly well-defined map, if you wish. So you have these tongues going up and down, and you can see that this is very believable pattern of relative changes in constant shift. So then, listed some kind of observations that we could see, I believe, from this data, which are fairly typical. And first thing is that the existing data allow for linear approximation of soil water content variability on a scale metric. So essentially, we have linear segments, and which may have different slopes. So this shows that we may have a set of hyperplanes in this 3D space of metrics, which are essentially support spacing and extent, and maybe this set of hyperplanes can be used to depict the spatial dependence of variance. And the reason for that is that slope thresholds of both appear to be preserved as soil water content changes. Challenge, of course, remains in how we combine all these observations into one coherent picture of the variance change on this 3D. We need to understand the effect of temporal stability on the scale dependencies of spatial variability. It appears to be important because there are publications in which it is not done, and so water content variance variability is actually misrepresented. Information of variability of controls is limited for even simple support sites. And all this story here says that at this point we can't find any, at least I don't know of, peer transfer relationship that would allow us to show how we can find these scaling parameters that allow us to move to the variability. And I think the grand challenge is what's the origin of soil water content so variance scaling. So this appears to be part of addressing soil complexity, and that's what we are about. Thank you very much.